We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Hey, babe, truth or dare?
Dare.
I dare you to impress me.
Okay. Alexa, tell Toyota to start my Avalon.
What is your four-digit PIN?
0718.
Our wedding anniversary. Well done, babe.
Play just got serious. Introducing the all-new Avalon, featuring premium tech like available Amazon Alexa control. The all-new Avalon. Toyota, let's go places.
Use remote start only if circumstances surrounding vehicle are legal and safe to do so. Amazon and Alexa are trademarks of Amazon.com, Inc. or its affiliates. Home to vehicle functions and requirements will vary.
This is your wake-up call.
Wake the Breakfast Club, the show you love to hate. From the East to the West Coast.
DJ Envy.
Angela Yee.
Charlamagne Tha God.
The realest show on the planet.
This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice to society.
Changing the game.
You guys are the coveted morning show, but y'all earned that.
Impacting the culture.
They wake up in the morning, and each day want to hear that Breakfast Club.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
We in the mother... We in the-
USA.
Welcome back, Angela Yee.
Hey, good to be back with you guys.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Tuesday.
Yee is back.
Yes, I missed you guys. I was in Johannesburg in South Africa. First, I was in Jamaica in Port Antonio, and then I went to Johannesburg. It's my first time in South Africa.
And you love it.
Yeah, it was amazing. I tell you this, though, they had security with us nonstop. Like, I couldn't go not one place.
You ain't need security
without our security.
Just tell the people you didn't need security.
I'm not used to that.
But you didn't need it.
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't ask for it. I had no idea. The security we had was the same security that took care of Obama when he was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything I had to do, like if I wanted to go to the gym, they're in the gym with us. It was a different type of feeling for me. But everybody treated us great. It was actually a women's event.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Her Story, Hip Hop Her Story. So Roxanne Shanté was there with us, and so was Young M.A. And it was a lot of artists from South Africa, women who are rappers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pretty incredible. So, you know, it was great. It was a good experience. I got to meet a lot of people. And while I was out there, I was watching all of the drama that was happening here. And I was like, man, it was so much solidarity. The women were supporting each other. It was a great event. And then I'm looking at Cardi B versus Nicki Minaj. I'm looking at all these things happening here. And I was like, maybe I should just stay.
You should have put your phone down. You went to Nelson Mandela Square, right?
Yeah, I went to Nelson Mandela Square. We went to Mandela's house. We mm-hmm. went to the Apartheid Museum. Mm-hmm. We went to a safari, all of that.
Oh, man.
I was only there for like 3 days.
I love Johannesburg. I love South Africa. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to all the Africans that listen to The Breakfast Club. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's a 15-hour flight.
Yes, long flight, though.
And today is National No News is Good News Day. I don't even know what the hell that means. What the hell does that mean? No News is Good News
You
Day.
Know how sometimes you're like, oh, Lord, please don't somebody else hit me up with something terrible happening.
And so don't tell me nothing.
No, it means as long as it's quiet. Like, you know how when you don't get any mail, you're excited because there's no bills?
Perfect example. You took your STD test, and they didn't call you today. No news is good news.
Yeah, so, okay, so nobody tell me nothing, so that means it's good news.
There right. you go.
Okay. No emergencies, nothing bad happening.
All right. So no need for rumor report today, all front page news.
No news.
Okay, it's nothing.
All right, well, let's all go home.
There's nothing good in none of those, I'm sure.
I'm right. jet lagged. I don't mind extending this one more day.
But well, we got a bunch of special guests joining us this morning. We have Judge Lynn Toler.
Okay, I like Judge Lynn a lot from Divorce Court.
From Divorce Court. Mm-hmm. We'll be kicking it with her. And also Russ.
I never met Russ before.
Me neither.
He's been wanting to come to the Breakfast Club.
Long right? time.
I hear nothing good about Russ. Everybody what? Always says bad things about
Everybody
Russ.
Everybody really? Says, yeah, they hate Russ.
Yes,
they do? It's,
what?
Absolutely.
Are you serious?
I didn't know that. I never heard
Everybody.
That.
Everybody.
People hate Russ. Like, it's just a whole big F Russ campaign.
That's almost like
it's
claim like that to for fame. Years. Yeah, people just hate him.
Yes.
I never knew that.
I don't know where you've been.
Like, why do they hate Russ so much?
I don't know.
I really don't. I honestly don't know, to be honest.
They should do an online show. Everybody hates Russ.
They said because he's too cocky, he's conceited, he feels himself.
Yep.
He puts other artists down. I guess we'll find out this morning. All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news. Guess who's doing it?
Envy. We want to extend it. The people are demanding that Envy keep doing front page news.
Nope.
Well, this person got donkey of the day while I was away, and we'll give you an update on her status.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now in Monday Night Football, the Jets beat the Lions 48-17. And the Rams beat the Raiders 33-13. Now, let's talk about this hurricane, ye.
Yes, Hurricane Florence. There are mandatory evacuations. It's nearing a Category 5 in strength. Right now, they are saying that in South Carolina today, mandatory evacuation orders take effect at noon in 8 counties along the coastline. And in North Carolina, they're saying more than 1 million people on the southern east coast have faced mandatory evacuation orders. As Hurricane Florence is going to be a Category 5 strength today. So, as you can see, if you're anywhere near these areas, the weather is pretty bad. I know a lot of flights were delayed, so if you are traveling, make sure you check that out.
I salute to all my peoples in South Carolina. Y'all hold y'all head.
Have you been checking on everybody?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to hit, like, the coast, like, mm-hmm. the Myrtle Beach near Wilmington area. More... So that's not, it's kind of near my people, but not really.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Colin Kaepernick, he's selling these I'm With Cap jerseys on his website, and it's for $175. 20% of the proceeds go to his Your Rights camp. It's not made by Nike. Now, according to Colin Kaepernick, it actually instantly sold out. So if you want to get one of those I'm With Cap jerseys, those profits will go to support Your Rights camp.
Yeah, I felt a little way about that because I want to buy one, but you know what I'm saying? You got to give
you
me first.
It's sold out.
Yeah, but you got to give me first dibs. I'm your man. You know what I'm saying? You got to give me first dibs on
Charlie,
the jersey.
It's for again, the it's not always about you.
If
you
I want a jersey, it is.
Dibs, but okay? Go online and buy
So you mean to tell me when y'all want something, mm-hmm. but y'all know the person who's selling it and then it sold out, y'all don't feel a little way? Like, damn, you couldn't hit me up first?
No.
And let me know?
You think you his only friend?
No, but we talk every
Thousands
day.
Thousands of people that know Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, but me and Cap talk every day.
I'm sure there's literally. People that talk to him all every day, too, that bought a jersey.
You probably can go on eBay and get one for maybe $1,000.
Yeah, support the cause.
Why would I do that?
I'm kidding.
The funny thing is
that would
did,
not support the cause.
He did send me the link this weekend. I didn't look at it.
See, there you go. See, there you go.
I just saw the picture, but it's your fault. Was actually
time for
jerseys.
You to know your rights.
He didn't even know. Look, he didn't
click
even check
on that
link.
I didn't even click on it.
All right, now let's do an update on a woman who got donkey of the day, Amber Geiger. A Dallas police officer, as you guys know, she was off duty when she shot Batham Shemjan, a black man who was in his own apartment. She said she thought she was entering her own apartment and didn't realize that she was on the wrong floor. Now they are saying that she's charged with manslaughter, but they may upgrade and make those more serious charges today.
You think?
So we'll find out.
Yes. I doubt it, but they should.
Mm-hmm. So now they are considering doing that. How does something like that happen?
Was she drunk? Did they say yet if she had alcohol in her system?
They did a toxicology report
I don't think
to
they
her
got those.
On the scene, but I don't think the results have come back yet. But she had just literally got off work. Like, literally, she was still in uniform. She had been doing a 15-hour shift.
Right. She said she thought that there was a burglar in her apartment, not knowing that it wasn't her apartment, and that's when she shot it.
Now, listen, the story that they told makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's a great put-together story because it's not about what you can... It's not about what you know. It's about what you can prove.
I can't see him charging her. I can't see him after everything. Because all she's going to say is, I went into the wrong apartment. I was scared. I told him to put his hands up, and I fired. That's what she's going to say.
No, she didn't even say that.
And she's going to say it's a mistake.
They said the apartment was pitch black. So right. all she saw
was a
figure.
Silhouette. Right. Yeah.
And the door was open, so she thought that somebody had broken her place.
Mm-hmm. What do you think should happen?
I really
see
don't
that.
Know.
That's a tough one because if she really thought it was her apartment, it was an honest mistake. You know, it was a mistake. If that's what happened, what
it
she's
was a
saying,
fatal mistake.
There's nothing
that's
that you
problem.
Can you know you can do. You walk into the wrong apartment. Yes, it's absolutely positively foul and wrong. But if she walked into that apartment thinking it's her, it was pitch black. Somebody's coming approaching her, and she fired her weapon. I mean, it's a horrific mistake.
I've walked to the wrong car before.
I've walked,
you know,
actually, in my neighborhood, I've walked up the steps to the wrong house and I've been like, oh, this isn't my door.
Were you drunk?
No. Oh. I just was on my phone, so I wasn't paying attention. So I walked up the steps to the house next door to me. It was in the middle of the day. And
should
I was like, whoops.
Should she be in jail for murder for that? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
But it's just sad for the family.
It is definitely
sad for the
family.
Because, of course, you want to see something happen. She admitted that she shot and killed him.
Yeah, you can't say
but
oops.
But it's a mistake.
No, you can't.
Can't give me a oops after you done took my people's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Can't just say sorry.
All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
What's up? My name is Jay, because Angela Yee, my babe.
Why
but,
is it your... Wait, your name is Jay?
Because Angela Yee, my bae.
So why Jay?
Get your dumb ass down with them dumb ass rhymes.
I like it. Thank you.
Nah, I love you too. But yeah, you should have came. I missed you. But I just want to say why people hate Russ. People hate Russ. Okay, first of all, I'm not even going to listen today because y'all have Russ on.
But yeah.
I only wanted to call and say that we hate Russ because Russ is very insensitive. When Little Pete died, Russ was talking really crazy and disrespectful. He said, oh, you people should die if you're using drugs.
Whoa.
And it was very disrespectful and hurtful to Little Peep. So that's one of the reasons why people hate
Russ. Wow, he said that?
I highly doubt he said it like that, but yes, continue.
Okay, when you read the tweet, go back and read the tweet and ask him, quote him on it. When he up there, Charlamagne, because you got a mouth, Mr. Mouth, you make sure you ask him what he said. You heard? And Angela Yee, I really missed you. Like, these guys was freaking doing crap rumor report when he was gone. Can you please not take no more vacations? I love you, Angela Yee.
I heard that they did a great job with the rumor report.
Shut up, B. Hello, who's this?
It's Cam here, calling from Jacksonville.
Hey, what's up, Cam? Get it off your chest.
Hey, Envy, hey, bro. I mean, you sound a little crazy to me saying you feel like it's not her fault.
I didn't say it wasn't her fault.
I said
I don't know how she would be charged. It was an accident. I don't think you can't charge her for a murder for an accident.
Let's change the situation then.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that.
Oh, don't do this.
He thought he was at the wrong apartment, and he tried to walk into her apartment the same way. And then he sees her in the building, and he shoots her in her apartment.
So you're saying, it was a black man that shot and killed a white woman.
That's right, an off-duty cop.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would feel the same way. I'd be like, damn, I don't know what should happen to him.
Absolutely.
what do you mean?
Walk into the wrong apartment, you honestly think it's yours and no malice. You really just think you're going home to go to sleep, somebody in your apartment, and you shoot. You know, it's a horrible situation for the person that gets killed in their family, but I don't necessarily see how you would charge somebody for murder for that because they didn't intentionally do it. It wasn't
Manslaughter should probably be the right charge.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It is that manslaughter.
Because it's not premeditated. Right. It wasn't intentional. So manslaughter probably is the right charge.
It definitely is a charge.
I can see manslaughter. I can see that. But my whole thing, the shoot first, ask question later mentality that people have nowadays is wrong. You know, she was in the wrong. She came into the wrong apartment and she shot an innocent person.
I'm with you 100%.
You know, it's an accident, but it's still a death. You see what I'm saying?
It is.
Same thing with a vehicle manslaughter. It's the same thing. Even though it's an accident, it's still death.
So I think manslaughter is the right charge, but we also got to look at the context. She thought she was in her place.
Right.
So it's not like she knew she walked into the wrong apartment.
Correct. And they didn't know each other, apparently, at all.
If you thought you was in your house and you thought somebody was in there, you'd be bucking off,
too. You'd be shooting first, too. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Brian from Florence, South Carolina.
What's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
I just want to say that I'm blessed, and I thank God for waking me up this morning.
Amen.
Giving me another chance to get everything right. And I want to shout out my South Carolina family, you know, as they get prepared for this hurricane. You know, I want to tell them that you might lose some things, but as long as lives aren't lost, you're going to be all right.
All right, brother.
That is very true, sir. That's like half optimistic. I mean, damn, the hurricane ain't gonna hit you. And you already telling me I'm gonna lose something?
But you'll be all right.
Jesus Christ.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Get it, pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Hello, who's this?
What's up, man? This is Reckless TV. How y'all doing, man?
What's up, Reckless TV?
Hey, I'm glad Angie is back.
Hey, what's up, Reckless TV?
I just want to speak on Cardi real quick. I'm not upset at Cardi. I'm glad that she did, you know, press Nicki, especially if you're talking about my family and kids. I don't care if we had a funeral. You're going to get pressed, you know what I'm saying? I might do it differently. I might have walked up all nice and quiet with a fake smile. But as soon as I would have got close up to your hands, we started being like, so what about that tweet you sent out yesterday? You know what I'm saying? And then
we already at a funeral, you know what I'm saying? You can go right now.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you can go in with your cousin. I don't care.
I heard
Nicki Minaj was talking reckless about Cardi yesterday.
Yeah, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, in the rumor report.
I'm sure we will.
And people were mad at Charlamagne and I said that we were encouraging violence. And that's not what we said. We said that no matter where you are, if you say something about me, we're going to have some aggressive conversation. But no matter where we at.
All I'm simply saying is you cannot say what you want and expect people not to react. Stop telling people how to react. Because if I push you and then, you know, the person that I push punches me in my face, he not wrong for punching me. I shouldn't have pushed that person.
I agree with you.
Y'all keep trying to make people react the way y'all want them to react. That's not how this works.
I do think things be spiraling out of control unnecessarily.
Diamond.
DJ Envy.
Good morning, Diamond.
Good morning. Good morning, Angela Yee. Good morning.
Good morning, Diamond. How are you? How was the club last night? How much you make?
I don't go to club. I'm a cancer. I stay in the house, okay?
Oh, I thought you was a stripper. My bad.
No, stop it.
No, sir.
Okay.
There's a lot of people out there named Diamond that's not strippers.
Oh, I'm old school. I'm from the Players Club era.
I really don't know, but I'm just
I know you know Diamond. Nucky, if you buck Diamond.
That's not real.
Yes, I know that Diamond.
Well, get it off your chest, mama.
Yes, I think that people need to stop driving after a certain age.
Oh, my gosh.
Because, yes.
You got behind an old person.
Let me tell you. My grandma's license has been suspended like four times because her tickets, she gets $2,000 worth of tickets every year.
Damn it, wow. Man. For parking tickets?
For running red lights because she can't see that the light is red.
Oh, my goodness.
You need to get her a Lyft account or an Uber account and tell her anytime you need to go somewhere, let me know, and I'm going to call a car for you.
I ain't going front. My grandmama.
That's what I'm trying to do.
My grandmama should have stopped driving a long time ago when she was driving. One time, she hit about 7 cars.
Whoa.
And then she went home, and they said, well, why'd you go home? She said, she was like, I'm 90 years old. I'm not stopping in the middle of the street for this. I figure y'all find me. But, like, that's just the way old people think.
Yeah, so maybe it's not just age, but it's also, like, how your resources are about you. Like, some people can function very well in their 80s.
Well, she
could
still pop
people...
the ish out of me at that age, but she wasn't stopping.
Yeah, maybe your reflexes are naturally slower at 90, bro. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you,
yeah,
mama.
You don't need to be driving.
You ain't slamming on no brakes at 90 when you see a car right in front of you. And imagine all them old people still trying to text and drive.
Oh, my goodness.
With their flip-flops.
T-Walk.
What's up, y'all?
What's up, T-Walk?
What up?
What up? So,
go ahead, T-Walk. Tell us how we biased this morning, T-Walk.
Situation.
Go ahead, mama.
All right, so I feel like I've been an avid member of the Breakfast Club. And at one point, you guys were Team Nicki. So I want to know, and this is for mainly the new listeners, what's the story as to why you guys are not so much Team Nicki?
I just want to say one thing before the guys talk. I'm not team anybody. I just report on these stories, and I actually hate the fact that these two women are going at it with each other like that. It actually was it's very sad to me. I feel like I said, I was just in South Africa. Everybody was getting along. I think we need that energy.
Yeah, but you act like women ain't been beefing over here since the beginning of time. Rappers, period. Not even just women, just rappers.
Yeah, but I think this is just getting too much spiraling out of control too much. It's such terrible negative energy.
I think we've seen it the worst we ever could in hip-hop when Big and Pac died.
Right. And like it's always been women beefing.
For you, though.
Excuse I'm not team anybody. I do like Cardi, though.
You get paid by Atlantic Records to promote Cardi.
I do. But Nicki has a terrible attitude. That's the truth to the matter. Nicki has a terrible attitude, and everything that people say about Nicki when they say she does a lot of things behind the scenes that piss people off is absolutely positively true. And you know, I've seen her. I judge people based off how they treat people that can't do anything for them, and I judge them based off how they treat people that I know are good people. So it ain't even about me. I've seen her talk crazy to... the one person in particular, and I'm like, yo, if you talk crazy about her, then I don't rock with you no more. And we all in this room know who that person is. And
I don't.
If she wants to tell y'all one day, then she will.
Tell me who.
She's a radio personality. A legendary radio personality who has never said anything bad about anyone at all.
Right, you know.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm with Charlamagne. I just don't like negativity and nastiness. And if somebody's nasty, regardless of who you are, I'm going to tell you.
I just feel like Cardi is winning so much right now, whether or not Nicki messes with her. Like, keep winning.
Yeah, and Nicki very slick. Nicki does things, like, all day yesterday. I see what she does. She'll like a tweet. And then she'll unlike it, because when she likes it, all her barbs will see it, so it's like a bat signal. Mm. And then all her barbs will start attacking that person. She knows what she'd be doing, so it's just like, yo, I'm not mad at her. Any energy that she puts out, she's definitely going to receive back. But I wish her the best.
Oh, that was nice.
I do. I wish her the best.
Did you get your answer, T-Walk?
Thank y'all. I appreciate it.
But we love you, though, because you're part of the Breakfast Club.
Bless y'all.
That's all that matters.
We love you back. All right. Well, rumors, what are we talking about, Yee?
Well, since we're talking about entering the wrong person's home, let's talk about a home invasion and robbery that went wrong because it was the wrong house. Also, because of this weather, this Hurricane Florence will tell you about some casualties if you are planning on going to a festival.
All right. Well, the rumors are on the way, and guess who's doing them?
Envy.
Nope. Yee. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. And from divorce court, Judge Lynn Toler will be in the building. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, don't forget, you want to come to Powerhouse NYC. We'll take care of your trip, your hotel, accommodation, suite tickets, and a chance to meet every artist that's performing. Cardi B, Lil Uzi Vert, SZA, and more. All you got to do is keep it locked each weekday morning. We'll play a sounder. You hear your keyword. You text that keyword to 64895. You'll be in New York City to see Powerhouse NYC. And that's powered by Amp Energy Organic.
And who's the we that's taking care of this? Because sometimes we say things like that and then people run up on us in the street. Like, give me a room for Powerhouse.
iHeart, definitely.
Yes, iHeart.
iHeart.
We is an iHeart.
iHeart.
Okay? The corporation, the company.
And you can't just
talent.
Run up on us and ask for a room.
I don't even have tickets. All right? Well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk YG.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On the Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, YG has been hit with two new felony charges, all of that from his alleged Vegas robbery. If you guys remember when he was up here on the Breakfast Club, we asked him about it. Check it out. We had an incident too. You know what's crazy is that people really will test you because they think you can't do anything because you're a celebrity, right?
Oh, out in Vegas.
Yes.
Remember
that?
Vegas.
Oh, cold.
What? It's true.
Is that chain you wearing? Did you buy that yourself? Or did you take that from someone? You got two of them.
You got that allegedly. Is that the chain that allegedly was snatched?
Y'all crazy. I ain't snatched no chain, man.
Have you ever
worn? That man was a mad fan. You know what I'm saying? He was a mad fan. I got to call my... I can't even talk about this type of...
Okay. Brother. All right, now the alleged victim is Benjamin Nadiri, who is suing YG in the Cosmopolitan Hotel over this incident where he said he saw him, asked for an autograph, YG refused, got upset, and then he heard the rapper tell his entourage to get him, and that's when, according to Nadiri, YG's crew surrounded him, held him down, and punched him, and then stole his chain. He said they then fled the scene before anybody responded. Here's what else YG had to say on The Breakfast Club.
Now you got to ask your lawyer if you can talk about your case in Vegas?
Yeah, yeah, bro, because... That's all people want to talk to me about when I pull up to, like, this criminal. Hey, what's happening?
Oh, he just put on his corporate
voice.
Voice
changed while you talk to
him. He put on the corporate voice.
Definitely huh? Change attorney right there.
Can I give you a call in an hour?
Look, I got one question real quick.
Sure.
I'm doing an interview right now. Could I talk about my case or not?
I wouldn't.
Exactly.
I wouldn't.
Well, in some positive news, I think I saw YG in a trailer for a movie last night.
Well, that's good.
I was half asleep in bed, but I could have swore I saw YG in the trailer for the movie.
All right. Well, let's hope for the best for YG. Mm. We don't know exactly what happens. Mm-hmm. These are all allegations, but he has been hit with two new felony charges. Originally, it was one charge. It was only one charge of felony robbery. All right. And if you are planning to go to J. Cole's Dreamville Festival, that has been rescheduled. They had to cancel it because of Hurricane Florence. It was supposed to be going down on September 15th. He tweeted out, man, due to this hurricane heading to North Carolina, we have to cancel Dreamville Festival. We're working to get another date, but right now, safety is most important. I appreciate everybody that was headed to rock with us. 30,000 plus were expected. All tickets will be refunded. Be safe.
Safety first, man.
Mm-hmm.
Why refund the tickets, though? Why not just move the date?
Well, because what if people can't make it on that date? Or what if he has to change the lineup? It's just
change venues.
Probably to refund it. And, you know, because people probably plan this way in advance, bought their tickets. What if he changes to a date that you can't make it? And you could always buy them again.
Right.
I hope
ain't nobody spent that money yet. You know, you spend that money because you think you're about to get something because you're throwing a party or you got a concert or something.
Oh, yeah, if you're the promoter.
Yeah,
oh, man.
I hope ain't nobody spent their money yet.
All right, and Post Malone, somebody tried to break in his house, some guys with guns. You know, they've been doing all these home invasions in L.A. and Cali. And apparently it was three male suspects that smashed a front window, and they said a resident living there was pistol whipped. Only thing is, Post Malone doesn't live there anymore. They said one of the men yelled out, "Where's Post Malone?" And they stole a bunch of cash and jewelry and cell phones, about $20,000 worth of stuff. But he's been moved, so he hasn't been living in there for months.
I used to think that black cloud following Post Malone was dirt, like Pigpen off Charlie Brown.
Stop it.
But clearly, what's up with Post Malone? Somebody got a chicken bone buried with Post Malone.
Well, it's not just him. Let's be clear. They're breaking into a lot of people's homes. You know, Christina
Milian. I'm not just talking about that, though. I'm talking about the fact that Post Malone got into a car wreck last week.
Mm-hmm. A plane incident.
The plane incident.
And now this?
Somebody has a mayonnaise jar buried with Post Malone's name on it somewhere. Please, unearth that mayonnaise jar, man, and take that curse off that young man.
You know what they say, with more success comes more drama, though.
Now, not that type of drama.
No.
All right.
No, they don't say that. Not with that type of stuff he got going on.
And Jeffrey Owens, we all know him, of course, as Elvin from The Cosby Show. He was talking about how Bill Cosby's legal issues actually is what affected his finances. According to People magazine, he had been receiving royalties from The Cosby Show for years. But when they actually pulled all those shows from syndications and the checks stopped coming, he said, yes, it impacted me financially. He said, at the time the show was pulled, that did make a difference in our income. That was one of the elements that led to my getting to the place where I said to myself, I have to do something. And I was thinking, what can I do? And the answer ended up being Trader Joe's, which is actually a wonderful situation for me in many ways. But I got to the point I just had to do something to support myself and my family. And just to recap, they had a picture of Jeffrey Owens in his Trader Joe's uniform. And he was embarrassed, he said, by that whole ordeal when somebody posted that picture of him. He said, I felt really humiliated. But things have turned much better for him as he's now going to be working on Tyler Perry's show.
Why not rerun The Cosby Show but call it The Huxtables instead of The Cosby Show?
I guess the fact that he's still involved, though. You can't take him out. It's not like Roseanne. I mean, you can't kill him.
He's playing a character, though. And then Roseanne's character is more like Roseanne in real life than Heathcliff Huxtable was to Bill Cosby, clearly.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right.
But it is true. You don't think about how it affects everyone else on the show, not just one person's affected.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, when we come back from divorce court, Judge Lynn Toler will be joining us.
Can't wait to sit down and talk to the real Judge Lynn.
That's right. We'll kick it with her when we come back, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes.
Judge Lynn Toler. Good morning.
How you doing? Good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. You want to know why?
Yes, talk to me.
Because now my children believe I'm somebody. Because I'm here.
Oh, so those...
The telephone call, the TV show don't matter, mm-hmm. Where I've been don't matter. The only two things they respected, I was on the Tyra Banks show.
Mm-hmm.
And my son was 15, so he appreciated that. And this.
And The Breakfast Club.
Otherwise, I'm unfunny.
Oh, man.
Uncool.
Oh, man.
Until they need a check. And then, I'm everybody.
And then I'm everybody.
Yeah.
They got to respect those,
yeah,
right?
They do. They do, but that's it.
I think you don't get enough credit for the advocacy you've done on behalf of mental health.
My father was bipolar,
mm-hmm.
And back in the day when nobody did anything about it. And I lived with that for a very, very long time. And then when I was in court, a good portion of the people I saw were in there simply because they were mentally ill.
Mm.
And I had people actually come into my courtroom on a small charge and say, max me out, judge, so I can go to county jail and get medded up because I can't afford my meds at home.
So people wanted to go to jail to get meds to get help.
Because they could not afford them.
Wow.
Why do you think it's still such a stigma when it comes to being mentally healthy?
Wait, hold on. So, but in that case, what do you do? Because they want help.
I send them. I'm legally allowed to do that,
right.
and you sentence people based upon what's going to do the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's going to change him or if he's going to remove him from society, if that's what's best. But if what's best is for him to go and get matted up, county needs to go on and pay for.
Well, shouldn't it be something else other than jail? Yeah. Maybe like the mental health.
That's what I was trying to get together.
Okay.
But there aren't any. There's no place else to send them. They were all closed. So I tried to get a first responder, and I tried. There was a hospital that I was trying to get convert, all that kind of stuff. But don't nobody want to spend money.
So
you know that you do what you have with the resources that you got.
Why do you think it's still such a stigma when it comes to being mentally healthy?
Because what the illness manifests itself in behavior, and we still have this belief that you can control your behavior. And so you're irritating to other people. If I have cancer, it doesn't irritate you. My hair's falling out, this and that. But if I'm bipolar and I'm blah, 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 blah at you, then that irritates you, and you don't see why I can't control my behavior.
Mm.
So
do you get a
that's
lot of people
what that
that
is.
That come in the courtroom that don't know that they're mentally ill?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how do you handle those situations?
Half the people I know don't know they're mentally ill. You know? I mean, my friends, family. I'm going to put everybody on some medication. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just... But no, they don't. They believe that... and women will believe that they're mentally ill before men will. Mm-hmm. Because they have that... They have more of a... I'm not doing what society wants feeling. And then someone suggests, well, you're mentally ill, you know, you're hysterical, this, that, and the other, and they won't believe it. The gentlemen that I used to see that didn't believe it were just so strongly convicted about how they felt. They believed that was the truth.
Mm.
You know, that Jesus complex and all that. Women don't get that, but dudes do. Mm. But I think it's a mixture of that societal, you know, males or logic, that hormonal testosterone makes you a believer. Because I remember as all my sons went through that, how they became believers in themselves. And you know, my daddy was the best man in the world. My husband, I got six sons. But it manifests itself differently. So.
Yeah, I think anxiety especially. Because, you know, you're not supposed to be scared if you're a man.
No, not at all. You're shook one. And I love that because I have massive amounts of anxiety.
Yeah.
And I have passed that along to my children. And I do well on anxiety. Well, I don't do well on anxiety, but I got a man who handles my anxiety. And it's different for my son because he's not supposed to be afraid. It's okay if I'm scared and want to hold your hand on a plane. He can't do that because he's a dude.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So how do you deal with it?
How do I deal with what?
My anxiety.
It depends on what I'm doing. Like when I was on the bench putting people in jail, my husband used to call me the night stalker because I was up all night walking the halls wondering about whether I did the right thing or not.
Mm.
And it was I used to have these recurring dreams about standing in front of a Venetian blind and people kept saying, move, Lynn, move, move. I can't move, I can't move, I can't move. And the one day I did move, they opened up the blind and it was a young Adolf Hitler. Like I felt responsible for so much that I did.
Mm.
Then I start running. On the treadmill, I started reading. I kept a worry book. I would write down all the crap I worried about. And then at the end of the week, you read what you were worried about and you look stupid. Because it was what you were worried about, and it was like, look at this stupid stuff. And now I got a great husband who, you know, he knows the character of my crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, he don't get mad. He used to get mad about it because it was uncomfortable. There wasn't no fun.
Gotta write that down.
But
character of my crazy.
But I go to him with, okay, baby, here's what I'm on. This is the road I'm on. Tell me what it is. Is there anything? It's a stupid road.
Mm.
Cool. And I've been with the brother 30 years, so I trust him because he's never been wrong yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I can lay it on his lap. And I said, now, if it becomes a problem or if this situation with this guy, dude, is a problem, I'm telling you what's going on. You let me know when I need to handle something. And then I let him carry that. Gotcha. And for him, it's light because he ain't crazy.
You said something that's very interesting just now. I mean, you said a lot of interesting things. But as a judge, so you do feel bad sometimes when you sentence people? Like, you ever feel like you went too far?
I worried that I did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I often worried about, and especially with domestic violence, you put a dude in jail, and my mother told me that. She came to watch me convict people and stuff. So this guy came in, he popped, you know, blah, 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 on his wife. And I give him what one of my judge friends calls the acid rain dance. I tore him up, da, 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 put him in jail. My mother afterwards put him back in the chamber. She said, let me tell you what you did wrong. She said, now that man is in jail for 6 months. Thinking about that bitch he hit and that bitch that put him in jail.
Ooh.
You made her life harder for her and you didn't help her at all. And I was like, oh my God. So I changed. I started talking to domestic violence agencies mm-hmm. about what should I do. You give them time, attention time. You pull them out. You put them, you suspend the sentence. You make them go to
counseling. Right.
You know, and not just anger management, because that's not good. It has to be specifically batter counseling. And then you keep the domestic violence people in association with her.
Mm.
So she has avenues because they need to know what to do.
All right, we have more with Judge Lynn Toler from Divorce Court, so don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Envy Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Judge Lynn Toler from Divorce Court in the building. I wanted to know, you know, when, of course, being a black judge and you see so many people that look like yourself, does that sway how you feel or when you give somebody time or give somebody community service, anything like that? Because I feel like sometimes, being that you're from the community, you would understand more than, per se, a white judge.
Is there black privilege?
I wrote this article called Losing 19, and I put it in an article, like Black Men's Magazine, where all the naked black women are.
Okay.
You know, I mean, and I put it in there, right. And it was called Losing 19. I said, I lost 19 today, again today, because he went off into the system. Mm-hmm. And I talk longer to the brothers, and I talk about, you owe me. I said, you know, they would say, I can jail, it's no big deal, it's 6 months, you know, mm-hmm. no big deal. And I would say, but every time you jail, we jail too, because mm-hmm. we don't have access to you. So I did have, and then I started programs, like a program for the males mm-hmm. and the program for the women at 14 and 15, because that's when the branch happens. Because I lived in like a suburban community that was edged by the city.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a choice to be made. Do I do what mama tells me to do, or do I join the party down the street? Mm-hmm. So I figured I was in a unique position to alter that trajectory. Was not true, but I tried.
Is it true that you had 2 nervous breakdowns by the time you were 12?
No, 1 nervous breakdown at 9, 1 at 16.
Wow. How do you know you're having a nervous breakdown at 9 and 16?
I was in school and started screaming, and they couldn't stop me. So they had to get somebody to come and get me and take me home. Took me to a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
and I'm in the psychologist's office, kicking the table the whole time, just kicking the table. And the psychologist was a friend of my father's, and mom said, you know, well, what's wrong with her?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I know what's wrong with her. It's all that you got going on at the house, because daddy was like, I remember one time mom didn't put all the shades down equidistantly around the house.
Mm-hmm.
He called her all day long, every 5 minutes, for 12 hours. To tell her about it all day long.
What
and I
do?
Said, Mom, why do you keep answering the phone? And this is in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because as long as I'm answering the phone, I know he's not on his way home. And I got to keep him where he is.
Mm.
So I let him call. I let him, I let him do his thing. And I hang up the phone and I stay with my day. Oh, but, you know, woke up one morning. Mama was coming out of the doghouse in the back. And I said, what you doing in the doghouse? She goes, it was cold out.
Wow.
She was running from it.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
What did your pops do?
He was an attorney. He was brilliant. Mm. Absolutely brilliant. He was a coal miner in West Virginia. He'd go 2 weeks in the coal mine, 2 weeks at college. 2 weeks in the coal mine, 2 weeks in college. Graduated law school in 1947. Mm. I mean, he was a badass. I mean, just a complete badass. Loved his family. God made him crazy. It wasn't his decision.
Was there something that pushed him to that, or did it was just a mental thing from the beginning? Or?
Yeah, I mean, him and all of his brothers were crazy. His mother was crazy.
I don't like her throwing the word crazy around.
No,
I understand what you're saying,
but
I know people who watch this.
And it's right, yeah. No, I think he's the most extraordinary man I ever met. Mm-hmm. For 2 years, when I thought about him, I would just blow up into tears. But all of his brothers, the lowest IQ they had was 150. And that was him. He was the dumb one. And because his mother had gone, he was born in 1919. His mother graduated college.
Wow.
A sister. You know what I mean? All of them were that bad. And they were all just, they had all that anxiousness. But that allowed him to become, he was 5'2" tall. You know, went to war, all of that kind of stuff. They built their own, bunch of brothers got together, couldn't go into a good neighborhood. They built their own community. Got a white guy to front it, bought a bunch of land, and then they parceled it out amongst. So I was raised with just doctors and lawyers and architects in my neighborhood. I mean, a genuine badass. but he was mentally ill. Part of it helped him to be as strong as he was, because he wasn't scared of nobody ever. And the other part made him one of the most impressive attorneys. I remember 15 years after he died, I went back to Ohio. I was keeping up my law degree, and I said, everybody said, introduce yourself. And so I said, I'm Lynn Toler. I'm just keeping my law degree together. And some old white dude, he said, are you any relationship to Bill Toler? And I said, I'm his daughter. He said he was one of the most highly respected, intelligent, he just went on and on and on, attorneys I have ever met in my life. And he was practicing in the 40s. And, you know, had his own firm because the white boys wouldn't let him in. Judges I run into, oh, my God, he was just that good. Badass.
How does that affect you with men now? Because you said, you know, he seen you kick your mom out the house and the call him with the blondes. Did that sway you anyway? Or
it swayed me completely. I married a 6'1" bottle of Valium. My husband, I don't care what you do. You can't rattle him. You can't make him raise his voice. You can't upset him. He's just cool. I mean, I can do the most bizarre stuff, and he'll just kind of look at me. But he won't do nothing, and he's just so you can count on him. He could hold me by the ankle over a cliff, and I wouldn't worry because he's that brother.
That's you know what I mean? My wife does that for me.
Yeah, yeah. She holds you over a cliff. Gotta have it.
I'm the maniac, and she's the always calm.
And you gotta have that because you got two maniacs in the room, it won't work out. One time I was going through a thing, and I called him up in the middle of the day, and working, and I said, "Babe, things ain't right here." Mm-hmm. And he came home and stood there and said, he didn't know what to say. And I'm talking and I'm telling and I'm crying and this and that. And he stayed until I said, okay, I'm fine. He said, if you need me again, I'll come back. Mm. That brother.
That's dope.
Yeah, because you've had your bouts with mental illness, right?
Yeah.
But you heard anxiety and depression?
Yeah. My husband and I went to marriage counseling once because we weren't getting along. And then they made us take tests. And on the test, he called me the day he got the test result back. He says, you know, your tests show that you are severely and deeply depressed. I want you in the office today because we need to get you on some medication because I'm afraid of what you'll do.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
So you because a lot of people are scared of medication. So you had no problem.
Oh, I do it when I need it. When I needed it, I took it because I know the difference between nobody can tell when I'm on my medication and not because I have I learned to do my crazy so well. Mm-hmm. My husband knows and my mother knew, but when I need it, I go on it because if I go into that depression, ain't nothing happening.
Was it suicidal? Yeah,
they always say depression is the point of no return.
Just twice. And what happened?
I was standing at the window looking at the pool and it was raining and I called a number of people. And God was looking out for me because they didn't answer the phone. People I shouldn't have been calling. Mm-hmm. And then I called my psychiatrist, who I have on speed dial, and I said, "It's not looking good today." Mm. And she goes, "Call your husband, get him home, get him on the line with me." And he stayed with me. And then I went in, you know, and got you know.
Well, how long ago was that?
10 years ago, maybe. Yeah.
What gets you to that point, though?
For me, it's not circumstantial. Has nothing to do with the circumstances. It's where my serotonin is at that point in time. Mm. That's what that is. And that's all it is.
You said one time. What was the other time?
I was young. I was in high school, and to me, everything had just spun out of control. I was cussing out teachers, and you know, and everybody was like, you know, and I'm like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't have to be here if I don't want to. Mm. I did everything you told me to do. I got into Harvard. I did all of that. And it's still horrible. You know, you guys were wrong. You guys were wrong about all of it. You know, that kind of thing.
All right. Now keep it locked. We got more with the judge. Judge Lynn Toler. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Judge Lynn Toler from Divorce Court in the building. Charlamagne?
How'd you get out of your depression? Or do you get out of it? You still go in and out?
I know how to ride it out. I know how long it should take. I know how long. If it takes too long, I know to go in. I got a guy, you know, Chris. I love you, Chris. And I go in and he, you know, we deal with it. You know, if I need a little medication, I will take it. I've been doing really well these last few years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really, really well. The anxiety is...
You, in your book, you talk about emotional genius.
Yeah, that was... My mother was an emotional genius. She was a woman who tolerated everything. My, you know, it's brilliant to me to keep answering that telephone,
mm-hmm.
not let it upset her day. And she was able to manage him in a way that allowed him to be extraordinarily successful.
Right.
And also manage her children. My sister... I'm the... family failure. My sister was is a neurologist.
Oh.
Board certified brain doctor. I was supposed to be too, got to college, couldn't do the math. I had to find something else to do. and law school was the only thing my parents would accept. So she was able to do all of that and not allow us to hate him.
Mm.
Because he was very, you know, gun went off, mom comes in the room, she grabs us in the bed, and we wait to see if he's going to finish it. I mean, that's how it was.
Who was he shooting at? Himself or
her?
Oh, yikes.
And wow. So we're in the bed waiting. Is he finished or is he coming?
Wow.
And she was able, she never got mad. She would get depressed sometimes, but she was able to manage him. And she taught me how to manage other people about it's all about the listening. It's all about how understanding how other people feel. And you manage your emotions so you can understand their emotions. Mm-hmm. And then you manage their emotions. Then they do what you want them to do.
Compassion.
No.
Empathy.
No. Understanding.
Mm.
Different.
What do you think the difference is?
The difference is I don't need to feel for you. I just need to understand why you feel the way you do.
Mm.
Do you see what I'm saying? I need to understand how Adolf Hitler felt. I don't have to share his feeling. I don't have to be empathetic, but I have to understand what he's feeling in a manner that allows me to understand what he's doing.
Maybe that's what your husband does for you. Your husband understands why you're having your moods or your reactions to things.
What I think happened in the beginning, I was cute enough that he didn't mind. You know what I mean? You take a little crazy if a woman looks good. Okay. And as the years went on and things started to settle and move, he began to like me as a person. You know what I mean? You know, and then I'm a sister who will address his, I adjust my crazy for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I know
yeah.
what gets on his nerves and I know what, and I know what not to do. And I said, you know, baby, I'm on one today. You know, okay. You know, we're going to deal with it. But I adjust, he adjusts, and, you know, then 30 years later.
Have you ever threatened him with your crazy? Like, you know I'll kill you. Don't play with me.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, no. One time I thought he was going to kill me, though.
Why?
Because I'm crazy.
You keep saying that
I know,
word.
And I'm going to need to leave that. Yes. No, I'm not going to.
We got to stop calling people crazy. We're not crazy.
No, and to me, crazy doesn't have a bad connotation.
Me neither.
So that's why I say it. But I need to realize my audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just, we had not been married very long. I don't know why we holding hands, but I love
don't know.
It.
Yeah, I'm
he might kill you now.
You're right?
He won't lose his hand, he'll kill you now.
He kept asking me where I was. And for some reason in my head, I was severely depressed at the time. And she said, for some reason, why do you want to know exactly where I am? Why do you want to know where I am? You know, are you trying to send somebody to kill me? It didn't make any sense.
Mm.
I felt like he was, and he was like, what is wrong with you?
Well, that's the anxiety, though. That's the
irrational
fear.
Irrational feeling. You get on a thought, you go, you chase it down to the end, and it was like, you know, the marriage wasn't going well at the time, because you know how it is. I had four stepchildren, the whole shmagilla, and I got on a thought. Took me all the way west of rational.
I felt like that when my wife put out a $1 million insurance policy on me.
Right.
I felt the same way.
It don't make no sense now, but it made sense at the time.
And what's the craziest, or I don't want to say crazy, what's the strangest thing that happened in your courtroom when you had to kick somebody out of court?
In my real life courtroom or TV court?
TV court.
TV.
Oh, both, actually.
Wait a minute, it's not the same? I'm serious.
I can't put nobody jail in TV court.
Okay.
I can put you in contempt and all that. All I can do is kick you out. We had one cat come in there who came on the show to get back in town where his wife was with the baby, and he tried to steal the baby off the set. and we had to call LAPD to get him.
He tried to steal a baby?
Well, right after he got through with the case, he went, and we had professional babysitters, and he said, he threw a piece of paper at her, and she says, I got a court order to take my baby, and her job is, I can't give the baby to anybody who didn't give it to me. And he chased her into the bathroom. Then the producers went in, the security went in, and ultimately had to get LAPD to get him out. And,
really?
You know, he had a warrant, so off he went.
Oh, wow.
when I read your story, it makes me wonder sometimes, is mental illness possibly a learned behavior? Because you said you started mimicking some of the ways of your father.
No. To me, it's a chemical imbalance. The things that I know, it's a chemical imbalance. What you learn to do is you learn how to handle it.
Mm.
In a way that allows you to conduct your business in a manner that allows you to live your life.
Mm.
It's a chemical thing because it's too much genetics. Because I've done the pattern, I've done the history, and it all came through. You know, he has stepbrothers that were his father's and some other woman's. None of them have it, It came through my grandmother, Mally.
What did it do to your mother's psyche? How is she?
She's the strongest woman I ever met in my life. Mm. I mean, she was extraordinary. She loved him. She took care of him. She would figure out. She used to buy, like, when he would, like, his vision glasses, she would buy them 20 at a time because he could never find them, and it would make him crazy, and they all looked alike. So she would just put them back so he wouldn't know they weren't gone. She learned how to do those things.
But that kind of, like, keeps you on the hot seat all the time, though, right?
Oh, yeah. She
under, was, under she, the gun. You're always under the gun.
She's always under the gun. Yeah. She was always under the gun. We always knew where he was vis-a-vis the windows. So everybody escaped. We were to meet up by the garage. She had a purse and thing in the back of the garage. Mm. Then we would go. It's back days, but they had drive-in movies. We'd go to the drive-in movie. When the drive-in movie was over, we'd go around the house. She'd put me on her shoulders because I had like five. And I'd look in. If he was asleep in the bed, we could go in. If he wasn't asleep, we had to find someplace else to go.
That's wow.
This is why being aware of people's mental health issues is so important, though.
Right. And he was a good man. And he paid for Harvard, Dartmouth, Penn Law School, and medical school through his working capital.
Wow. Mm.
Checks. I don't know how much it cost. My sister don't know how much it cost. Mm. You know, he was that bad. And anything we wanted, he got it for us.
We appreciate you for joining us.
Yeah, and Divorce Court is back for its 20th season, man.
Yeah, 20th season. We've got a whole new set, whole new stage, got a new bailiff, you know. So it's become a show that rests now on people's belief in my ability to give it good advice as opposed to, you know, say who's going to get Fluffy the dog.
Okay.
And, you know, it's changed and it's given me an opportunity to be more positive. About this is how you do, this is what you do, this is how you should live.
We appreciate you for joining us.
Yes.
Judge Lynn Tola, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for coming, man. Great conversation.
Can I say my Twitter handle?
Of course. You want some followers?
I want some followers at Real Judge Lynn.
Real Judge Lynn.
Because I got 7. I need 8.
You got Instagram too?
Instagram at Real Judge Lynn.
Go follow at Real Judge Lynn right now. Put hashtag crazy all through her comments.
Because that's the word I said the most.
All right, it's The Breakfast Club. It's Judge Lynn Tola. The Breakfast Club. Let's get to these rumors. Let's talk Nicki versus Cardi.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Yo. Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right. Well, people were waiting to hear what Nicki Minaj was going to say on Queen Radio yesterday after her altercation with Cardi B during New York Fashion Week. And I have to say, I hate that we even had to sit here and discuss this and report on this.
I didn't hear it.
It's what's happening.
I'm looking forward to the update. What'd I miss?
All right. Well, first, Nicki Minaj was talking about how humiliated she was from the events that happened at New York Fashion Week.
The other night, I was a part of something so mortifying and so humiliating to go through in front of a bunch of upper echelon, and it's not about white or black. The way they passed by looking at this disgusting commotion, I will never forget. I was mortified how we made ourselves look. So let me just go on record having said, I would never talk about anyone's child or parenting. That's clown shit.
Made yourselves look the who? Like, when you say upper echelon, you do mean them cokehead, sexual deviant Caucasians that were at this function. Because I'm sure it was more Caucasians than black people.
Well, it's New York Fashion Week.
It's New York Fashion Week.
It's a diverse group of people.
It's mostly white.
I don't like the upper echelon. Like, who cares?
And that's why she had to preface it by saying not black or white. You know exactly. Why do y'all care what white people think so much?
At those fashion events, G.
I mean, I don't know. I wasn't at this particular event, so I can't say. Because there's a lot of black designers that have events, too, during New York Fashion Week.
If that was the BET Hip Hop Awards, she would have never said anything about upper echelon people. Okay.
There were a lot of upper echelon people at the BET Awards. All right. Now, she also played some old audio, of Cardi from Fader talking about how nothing's off limits.
Nothing is off limit. I hate when some people come at me and it's like, oh, Cardi, why are you coming at people's kids for? But I'm my mother's kid. Like, the same way your kid is your baby, I'm my mother's baby. You know, if my mom was to be scrolling down and she see people talk about me, that will hurt her feelings. That will make her cry. You're making my mother cry.
That's very contradictory of Cardi, but, you know, two things can be true. Cardi said nothing is off limits, and she's right, especially in this era. But guess what? If you're going to pop off about people's kids and people's parents and skills, then you have to deal with the consequences of those off-limit words.
All right, well, let's move on with what else Nicki Minaj did. And she did a lot of research. She is a radio personality.
Nicki did a lot of research. I ain't mad at her for doing all this research now.
Now, if you guys remember, there was everyone keeps bringing up these old tweets where Nicki Minaj talked about somebody's child dying, your son died. Cardi. Mm-hmm. Was tweeting somebody about their child dying, their son died, and it wasn't a very nice tweet that she sent out at the time. Well, Nicki Minaj spoke to the woman who Cardi B was talking to, and here's what happened on this phone call.
Back in 2014, she made a video talking about her teeth. She was basically saying, I'm like, oh, I'm not fixing my teeth. So I had commented on it, and I was like, well, you know, you should just get them done or whatever. She went to my Instagram, and she must have read my bio. In my bio, it says, rest in peace to my son that passed away. Mm-hmm. So when she read my bio, that's when she got me with the comment, and was like, oh, bitch, that's why you shouldn't have been on drugs. Maybe your baby would have been alive. It was just like a whole bunch of on my son, a monkey.
Well, the tweet Cardi sent to that girl was foul.
Yeah, and I would hope she regrets that now.
Yeah, and if that girl ran up on Cardi over that, then Cardi got to hold that because those are her words. Same way Cardi ran up on Nicki.
All right, now Nicki Minaj also accused Cardi B of payola.
You knew that when that footage came out, you was about to look f***ing dumb. So they hurried up and put out a statement. And you know what? I'm such an ill ass b***h. I didn't even feel the need to defend myself. But we did hear this woman who accused me of saying something about her child just say that nothing's off limits, even talking about people's kids, because she has built her career off of sympathy and payola.
I just want to say the payola rumor is y'all fault.
You and Envy, this is your fault that people really believe this
because you guys keep making jokes about how you get paid and people really think it's true, and this is your fault.
It's this guy over here. It's not me.
Listen, I'm sorry if my check's clear from Atlanta.
Stop it, man. Don't play, because people really believe it. Like, and Cardi said something right. If that was the case, there'd be a zillion and one artists popping. Cardi had great music. That's why she popped
off. Nobody pay us to play cheap-ass weave 4 years ago? Man, she didn't have no deal back then when we played cheap-ass weave, and everybody thought I was trolling when I played the song on the radio.
Let's just remember, though, when she did put out her first mixtape, everybody was surprised at how good it was.
And I would also like to say that the DJ that she was fake smashing, which was DJ Self, which was that fake love and hip-hop storyline.
Correct.
He wouldn't even play her record.
He did not play her record.
I just want to throw that out there.
So the one DJ she was fake smashing
wasn't even playing her record.
Not at all.
Oh, okay. So you're trying to say it wasn't good?
No, I'm just saying Self don't know talent. Self don't know. Never mind.
Stop it.
Here's where things got more passionate, and here's where Nicki Minaj really starts to, I guess, dig in even more.
Now, you want to talk about stopping bags, but it's two innocent girls in a strip club right now that ain't did nothing but go to the strip club and get money. Now they can't get no money, so who's stopping bags? Because you got grown-ass f***ing men showing up to where the f*** they at and where they work at. They can't feed their kids. They can't feed their f***ing family. Because you mad at what another man sticking his f*** inside of. And that's the problem with so many black women and women, period. Oh, because she's not black, because she refers to you black women. Oh, we got the receipts for that, too. FYI, she refers to black women as monkeys and roaches.
Now, it's a lot to unpack. It's a lot to unpack.
That's what my therapist says.
Now, I don't know what's true and what's not true, but that's snitching. That sounds like a statement. Like, well, you can't just accuse somebody of ordering a hit on someone in the script club. We saw the story on the blogs, but they said allegedly.
This is a war.
She's just straight up saying, you hired some guys to go beat up a girl.
But that's snitching. But this is war.
You might as well just go point her out of a lineup, Nikki.
This is war.
Go
they
sign the statement.
War.
Go sign the affidavit.
Nothing is off limit, as you can see right now. This
I don't
is
know
war.
What's going on here.
All right, we're
going to
have some more in the rumor report, everybody, and I'm sure you guys want to weigh in as
cease
well.
Cease fire.
No, this
I just
want to
say, I'm glad that both Charlamagne and Envy were not up there at Queen Radio.
Nikki using Monique tactics. She's weaponizing racism and colorism for her own personal
This is a
agenda.
War, bro. Everything goes in this war right now, as we can see.
Listen.
I don't want this to
How
be a war.
How you just going to accuse somebody of hiring somebody to beat somebody up? That's snitching. You can't. What's up, man? We don't
All
even
right,
know if
guys,
that's true or not.
Hey,
you just incriminated this young woman.
This is war.
You guys, rumor report is over.
You do the show.
We're
going to
be
war.
Back in the next hour and discuss this some more. You get ready for Donkey of the Day, Charlamagne.
Why you look so hurt? Why
you get ready for Donkey of the Day.
You're grabbing
I'm old.
Clutching your pearls. What's wrong with you?
Things have changed so much in this generation.
Are you going to cry?
You're just going to incriminate somebody like that?
Could you move on? Where's my shoe?
I'm sorry. You better not throw that shoe. See? Y'all joke too much. See? Everything got to be in front.
And I don't have any security to hide behind. Where my security? Matter of fact, call my security in here so I can hide behind.
You know what? I get
before ye start throwing shoes at me.
But who are you giving your donkey to, man? You look so upset. Oh, she threw a shoe at her for real.
I'm going to stand right here. Okay?
See, y'all play too much.
Exactly.
See, that's why nobody take y'all serious.
Exactly. And you don't know. People could get killed.
Right.
All right.
Can I have my shoe back?
See? You can't have your shoe back. You got to walk out barefoot.
These are nice. Aren't these nice?
What kind of shoe is this?
A little Gucci.
You threw a whole Gore-Tex at me?
A whole Gore-Tex.
I could kill you.
Right? These are cute.
That's a Gucci Gore-Tex?
You could have killed
me. You could kill me with that. My God.
Charlamagne, your money long, though.
Oh, 4 after the hour, Donkey today is going to Benzon. He's the mayor of Kenner,
Oh,
Louisiana.
Yes. Please.
All right.
Yes.
We'll tell you that story when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed one.
So like a donkey? Yee-haw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Tuesday, September 11th goes to the mayor of Kenner, Louisiana, Benzon. Now, a day after Nike announced Colin Kaepernick is the face of the brand's 30th anniversary ad campaign, Benzon, the mayor of Louisiana, issued a memo banning the purchase and use of any Nike products at the city's booster clubs and recreation departments. Now, why would the mayor of Kenner, Louisiana do that? Well, clearly he's against what Colin Kaepernick is standing for. I'm not playing this game with people anymore. I'm not debating with you about what you think Colin Kaepernick is doing, because what people think he is doing is disrespecting the flag and veterans and the military. But no, that's not what this is about. That's not what this has ever been about. It's about the injustices that black and brown people face at the hands of crooked police officers, police brutality, nothing more, nothing less. And I'm not going back and forth with you bigots about it, okay? I honestly saw the memo banning Nike products from Benzon, and I didn't think it was real, but it's real. Let's go to WGNO ABC for the report, please.
City of Kenner Councilman Gregory Carroll says he wants to meet with the mayor and other council members this week, this following the memo banning Nike product purchases for city booster clubs. The memo is dated September 5th and is from Mayor Benzon to the director of the Parks and Rec Department. The memo demands the department no longer buy any Nike products or products with the Nike logo. We reached out to the mayor's office and they have no comment.
Well, he has released a comment. He actually released a statement. I'm not going to read all of this, but he says his decision is only to protect taxpayer dollars from being used in a political campaign. He says taxpayers cover a wide spectrum of political philosophies and agendas. We must respect all those agendas and philosophies. So when a company uses its advertising as its own political megaphone, government should be fair to all of its people and allow taxpayer dollars to be used to help that company push its own political agenda. See, the reason this is complete BS, right, is because I am almost positive you have taxpayers in Kenner who support Colin Kaepernick and who are ecstatic that he had to deal with Nike. By banning Nike apparel purchases by Kenner recreational clubs, doesn't seem like you care about those taxpayers' political philosophies and agendas. Look, Ben, stop being a coward. All right, if you are upset because Nike signed Colin because you don't agree with this brother taking a knee, then say that. Say you want him to stand up for the flag. Don't be shook. All right, take a page out of your celebrity and chiefs book. Stand on your square and say you think Nike is whack for signing Colin Kaepernick. I am sick of people disguising their prejudice with patriotism. And in this case, Ben Zahn acting like he's protecting taxpayer dollars from being used in a political campaign. What about the taxpayers who actually support Kaepernick? You don't care about them? Why don't you care about them? What if they want their dollars to be used in a political campaign, okay? Huh? Ben Zahn, why don't you ban police brutality? Why don't you ban police officers from killing unarmed black and brown people? It's a lot of things you can ban, but I will never understand why you would ban Nike because they are choosing to do business with someone who is actually doing the right thing. Please let Remy Ma give Ben Zahn the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. You stupid motherfucker. Are you dumb?
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
And there are council members in that city who are trying to get him to rescind that ban. So not everybody agrees and supports that either.
Yeah, it just sounds weird to say you're trying to protect taxpayer dollars. What taxpayers? Because you're definitely excluding the taxpayers who support Nike and Colin Kaepernick.
All right. Well, now, when we come back, Russ will be joining us.
People hate Russ for some reason,
People
man.
People dislike Russ.
They told me that if you say F Russ three times, you'll gain 100,000 new followers on social media.
Oh, now I hope people are going to do
That's what I heard. So if you tweet F, you got to add him, though. If you tweet F at Rush three times.
Okay.
I didn't realize he was so hated until y'all said that this morning.
Oh, they hate his
and
ass.
Then a whole bunch of people started tweeting me reasons why they hate him. I had no idea.
Well, we're going to talk to him when we come back. Well, keep it locked.
And I listened to his album, by the way.
Album's dope.
Why are you making that face? It wasn't good? He's not talented?
No, he's talented. He's nice. He gets busy. He produces his own stuff, too. He's nice.
I'll tell him when he gets here.
All right. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. World's most dangerous morning show.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, sir.
Russ.
Yeah.
Russ, what's happening,
what's
man?
What's up, sir?
Man.
Listen, if you think for one second that I enjoy your music and I think you can rap, then you're absolutely right. Okay.
Amazing. Thank you. Wow. I was like, I was waiting for that to go left.
Now I enjoyed Zoo a lot.
Wow. So thank you.
And I was wondering, like, why do people hate Russ?
Yeah, it's like a multitude of reasons. You know what I mean? It's not, actually, it's not even a multitude. It's like pretty targeted. But it started with because I was always big up in myself, super confident.
So people,
As a person should, though.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, when I was coming up, I was and am produced, mixed, master, engineer, write everything. And people started, you know, and I would say that all the time because, number one, self-sufficiency is a message that should be put out there to people instead of always having to, you know, outsource whatever. But then number two, I'm proud of it. You feel me? Like, so people started getting mad at that. But then it was my stance on drug abuse promotion via Instagram and Twitter to the kids, and people didn't like where I stood on that. But
where do you stand? You don't like it?
I just think that at the end of the day, depression, addiction, all these things are real things. When you start making merch with lean bottles on your shirt, and you start, you know, and you're on your Instagram smiling next to Xanax and smiling next to lean, I'm gonna start to wonder like, what's going on here?
Yeah, you're normalizing it. You're making it cool, but then you'd be the first person saying rest in peace when somebody overdoses.
Right. Well, and it's like, but then you claim like, because here's my issue. It's like, okay, you're doing that, and I understand you're addicted or depressed, and that's not a joke, and I get it. You feel me? But when you're posting, when you're making merch of it, and you're on Instagram smiling next to the stuff, it's one of two things. You either know what you're doing and know you're poisoning the youth, right, and poisoning the kids that are looking up to you, because your Instagram posts be reaching more people than your music does sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that you're poisoning the youth, one. Or two, you don't know that you're poisoning the youth, but you still are. So either way, you're on the wrong side of the fence.
So you don't talk about drug use. I've never talked about drug use in your music at all.
Drug use? No.
And I'm not talking about weed. I'm talking about...
Yeah, do I drink sometimes? Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. But I'm not making merch with a Tangeray bottle on it at the same time. Yeah. You feel me? It's like I'm not using it as a brand and as an image.
So your peers don't like you because you're the person that comes in the party and calls them all drug addicts.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I'll be there,
you're
like...
You're a fun killer.
That's what they be trying to say, but it's like at the same time, like, I be in the studio, like, yeah, I drink, yeah, you know, we smoke occasionally, whatever, whatever, but it's like, yo, there's a line, you know what I mean?
Your full intent is not to promote it to the kids.
Like, you can't sit around, you can't turn around and tell me that you care about the kids. Like, I feel like you're using that as a marketing tool.
And it's so big right now in high schools and colleges.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter's in high school. She was telling me the conversation is so normal. Like,
yeah, this weekend, yeah, we're going to go have a party. Yeah, there's going to be drugs there. And I was like, drugs? What do you mean? She was like, no. I was like, are you talking about weed and jewels? She was like, no. Talking about cocaine. And she was like, it's such a normal conversation that kids are doing it. And that scares the shit out of me because, you know, at least I'm, thank God my daughter tells me pretty much everything. But
yeah,
there's a lot of kids out there that follow rappers and follow artists. Mm-hmm. And they're doing 100%. It because their favorite artist is doing it and they think it's cool.
And honestly, bro, that was my whole point. When I first came out on that end, that was my whole point. You know, like, I don't know. I think it was September at Day and Night Festival. I wore a t-shirt that said, and this is what really started the whole,
hate Russ.
F Russ.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're making addiction a joke. The shirt was how much Zans and Leans you have to do before you realize you're a f***ing loser. Now, a lot of people thought that that was me calling addicts a loser. I was referring to the kids in the suburbs, the white kids, and I know because I went to school with them and I went to college with them, who be doing it because they hear it in a rap song. They have no reason to be doing it other than it's playing on at the parties and, oh, that sounds enticing. Next thing you know, you're addicted. And yes, now you're addicted, which is not a joke. And it's very serious, you feel me? But you got to look at step one. Why did you even try it in the first place? Yeah. You feel me?
Listen, keep shaming these people, man. Shame works. Because until you look at something and you're ashamed of it, you're not going to change it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, the culture that we live in right now in hip-hop, like, I am going to be the bad guy because I'm not what's going on right now, mm-hmm. period. Like,
well, your story is a great story. So for people who don't know who Russ is, you're from Jersey.
Yeah.
You're Italian.
Yes.
And you produce and write your own stuff.
Everything, yeah.
And for 3 years.
Except for Sky Storch produce songs.
Tell them about what you did for 3 years, how you released your music, because you did it on your own. And I respect that.
Thank you. I started just making beats when I was 14. I'm 25 now, about to be 26 in a couple weeks. So it's 11 years of making beats. And around 2011 is when I started to make songs. And I put out my first, like, mixtape. And, you know, we're talking 2011, like, Instagram came out in 2010, just to give perspective. Like,
right.
It was not popping. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And Twitter was barely anything. By 2014, I dropped 11 mixtapes that I produced all of them, wrote all of them, like, mixed everything. Because I don't know anyone. I got 500 followers in a basement. Like, I don't know anyone. I got to figure it out. It didn't work. Still sitting there with 500 followers. So I was like, all right, let me switch up the approach. It's not a matter of, like, can I make enough music? It's a matter of how I'm putting it out. So I put out a song a week on SoundCloud for, like, 2 years. And it led up to my debut album.
So technically, you are a SoundCloud rapper.
Oh yeah, I was like, you know, I got a chain made of the SoundCloud thing with the crown on it,
right.
The king of SoundCloud. Like, you're gonna have to, like, someone's gonna have to come talk to me about it if you feel away, because I do feel like that. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, who else dropped a song every week for 3 years and ended up in arenas? Mm-hmm.
So it was really just that easy, a song a week.
That's not that
easy.
That's not easy.
I know. It's not easy at all.
Yeah.
But a song a week for 3 years, and then you become Russ.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to understand, those 11 mixtapes were me on my driveway practicing jump shots. Mm-hmm. Once I got to the SoundCloud, I was in my bag. Mm-hmm. And so then every song every week was ready to go. The next side that I knew was important was touring. And a lot of artists don't tour. And I encourage all upcoming artists to tour. Even if it's 50 people a night, you got to understand that, you know, I started doing, I did 40 kids in a basement in Glasgow. I did, you know, 100 kids here, 200 kids in Houston. But, like, I was touring every other month.
Mm-hmm. And did I was you paid?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was headlining it, no openers, right? You know, then that multiplies. You do... It started off 350 people at the Echo on Sunset in L.A. Next tour, I do El Rey, which is 800. Mm-hmm. Next tour, 2 months later, I do the Novo, 2,500. You know what I'm saying? Next show is next summer. I do 2 shows at the Shrine, which is 5,000 each. Mm. But so you can see that it's a gradual, like, most artists are too prideful to even just turn down the 20K bag in the club to go maybe only make 5K at the Echo on Sunset. But that real fan base that buys tickets is what's going to keep you here for 10 years.
So who took notice? Because I feel like we're skipping some steps. Was it, because they say you're an industry plant. So was it a label that came in?
You know why they say that, though, is because I always say, too, because the come up is actually unbelievable. So you don't believe it. Mm. That's it. All my stuff is documented. You can scroll down.
You know, I do want to say one thing, because labels been saying this for years. No artist ever listens, but you listened. Labels encourage artists not to take the bags from the club.
Yeah.
Tell them, don't take the bags from the club because you build a fan base and you'll live longer. But most artists don't listen.
Of course they don't, because that's the quick money.
Right.
I never was a club artist, though, so that wasn't even an option for me. So my thing, when I was making all these songs, you know, around 2015, managers are reaching out, Atlantic Records is reaching out, and I'm entertaining the conversation, but, like, that's it. Like, I'm a kid, like, in my basement with 700 followers. Like, I'm not really, like... you know, it's all
you
weird.
You didn't do a sneaky record deal, like, I'm going to sign to you, but we're not going to tell
honestly,
nobody?
Honestly, bro, you would know by now. Someone would have came out and said, you know what, I signed, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't happen. So what I knew I wanted, because I watched a bunch of Breakfast Clubs, everything, bro. I watched, we studied this stuff like stalkers, you feel me, in the basement. So I knew Kara Lewis was the one. Kara Lewis, the booking agent.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know who Kara Lewis is?
He's not. He doesn't book our acts. Or
still, like Eminem, yay, like it's crazy. Okay. Anyway, I knew that from just studying the game. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing that artists are not on. Like, y'all are idolizing getting a chain from this rapper who might sign you and shelve you. I was idolizing booking agents.
Right.
Because I feel like that's what it was about. So when managers were reaching out, and my current manager, when he was reaching out, I was like, bro, I'm not talking to you until you get me Kara Lewis. You want to manage me? Get me Kara Lewis.
All right, we got more with Russ. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Hit them angles. It's a short life.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We have Russ in the building. Does it bother you when people go at you so hard on social media? I seen over the weekend, you know, they did one of those. It should have been you instead of Mac Miller.
Oh, yeah.
It was like crazy.
Yeah, well, you know what? It does bother me. And I'm going to be done with this super soon because this whole like industry, it's not for me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I feel the same way.
And that's why I call the album Zoo. This zoo that is fame and whatever is not a place for breeding healthy minds.
It's nasty out here.
It's
right
disgusting.
Now.
So it's like,
you know,
I'm not into this.
Anxiety is the number one disease.
I'm sure it is. And so when people are saying should have been you, it's like cute. Y'all are people on Twitter making jokes about, you know, should have been you, whatever, whatever. But you know what's really screwed up is that y'all the same people who will rob someone of their peace of mind while they're alive, but when they die, wish them to rest in peace.
Right.
How are you gonna wish that I rest in peace, but you don't want me to live in peace? So y'all are fake. And RIP to Mac Miller, because the fact that y'all, when he was dropping his album with Astroworld, and I remember every time I was dropping a song leading up to the weeks with Astroworld, everyone was like, keep it, Chief, we're getting Astroworld tonight, even though they weren't. But it's like, y'all making all these jokes, whatever, and y'all are doing that to Mac Miller.
Yeah, when he dropped Swimming. Yeah. Same night as Astroworld.
As Astroworld. So now, when he passes, now y'all want to come out the woodworks and be like, man. It's like, y'all people saying that stupid shit were the same ones who were contributing to, you know, a dysfunctional peace of mind, possibly. And it's like, there needs to be a real discussion about internet culture and how it affects artists and celebrities. I'm the first generation of people who grew up on the internet and having to use social media to gain prominence. So when you look at that, you got to understand that if social media can have a positive impact on your career, meaning blow you up, you can't ignore the fact that it can have a negative one. This is one big high school, bro, and people on the internet need to recognize that a lot of them, y'all are bullying kids into depression.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't act like you're absolved from it because your fallback is, we're just joking. Cool. That's what everyone in high school says when the girl hangs herself. When it's a joke amongst the school, it's one thing, right? Mm-hmm. When it's a joke amongst the whole world, like, and you're expecting it to not get through, put it like this, right? Everyone on the internet who be making jokes, y'all be letting three mean girls in your school throw y'all off.
Absolutely.
You feel me? So how do you think someone who has 100,000 comments or 20,000 comments of go die, you know what I'm saying? Like, I be getting death threats by the thousand on the day.
I get them every day. And you can't even reply, and I can't reply. We can, but when we do, it makes their life bad because people start attacking them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's that or I'm the crazy artist who only replies to hate.
You're supposed to be too big for that.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, yo, the reality is that people on the internet need to be real conscious and responsible of what they're doing. But they're not. You know why? Because the voice of the hip-hop consumer on the internet is a 14-year-old kid who was 5 when, you know, Drake came out. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, and it's always that hurt people.
It's who you went to high school with. Yeah. It's when I was 14 and 15 and you're making jokes, it's whatever. Like, you get caught giving top on camera and 2006, your school's gonna know, but like people in Nebraska and Africa aren't gonna know. Now it's like,
now you're girl.
You're just like, you're done. You feel me? And so it's screw getting bullied by 2,000 kids. Now you're getting bullied by 2 million people. And if you think that that doesn't have an effect, and you think that my other thing with this is too, is the consumer wants artists and celebrities to be normal, right? The problem is that you treat them as if they're supposed to be above feeling what the natural human would feel.
Yeah.
So my thing is like, okay, pick a side of the fence.
It's almost like they want you to take all the shit that they say about you because you got money.
Yeah.
Because you are who
like
you are.
Like, that's supposed to be a blanket.
Yes.
And like a, you know, a vest. I gotta be sensitive. I gotta let stuff get to me. Otherwise, I can't give y'all the real. But at the same time, you're asking that person who you demand to be sensitive and relatable enough to relate to your human emotions, you're asking that person to have thick enough skin to not feel anything that is inspiring the music that you love. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense. I think society needs to really look at themselves and take responsibility for what they're doing to artists. You feel me? We're the first generation that's experiencing this stuff, bro. Mm-hmm. This is not regular.
Why did Lil Pump say me and J. Cool now so rough?
It's a trend, bro. That sentence is a trend. Like, J. Cole was a trend.
Do you know Pump?
No, I've never met Pump.
Wow, so he just was really cloud chasing.
I've never met Pump. But that's what I'm saying, bro. These are 17-year-old kids who, like, just post stuff on the internet. Like, you got to understand, these are 14 to 18-year-old little kids on the internet. They don't know anything, bro. I don't know. Him saying that, it's like, you got to take that up with you and yourself. Like, why are you saying that? Because I've never talked to you. I've never met you. That's why I said on Kill 'Em All. It's like, I've never talked to y'all. Mm-hmm. Y'all so obsessed with me, I've never even talked to y'all bitches. You know what I'm saying? Like, how much of a weirdo do you have to be to call someone's name out that you've never talked to or met in a negative fashion? I've never talked to y'all. I've never met y'all. I don't know anyone around y'all. Like, all these rappers who just be saying F us, whatever. That's what's up. When we see y'all in person, we're going to ask for clarification. And that motherfucker knows what time it is. Him and his manager know what time it is. We call y'all at festivals. Not him. We call y'all's people at festivals. Ask your manager. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all know what's up. We don't put up videos because I be minding my business. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be on the internet.
You will get sued, too, just in case.
But the first rapper who sued someone for getting the ass beat, your career's done. That's not hip-hop.
Nah, not in this era.
Well, you know what? That's a shame.
Though. That's not in this era.
Nobody even cares. Be like, yeah, that's what they get for hitting him.
That's it. Like, you know what? That's a shame. But those people know what's up, bro. Like, at the end of the day, like, I'm not the tough guy online. I don't do none of that. I leave that for the... That's why I also send them in Kill 'Em All. I leave that for the WWE rappers, bro. I leave that for the rappers who, because they think they have face tats and tote guns, that, like, we're supposed to be scared or something. Like, y'all are only scaring 14-year-old white kids who don't know any better. Like, y'all are not scaring people who don't have face tats who are felons. Like, what are y'all talking about?
Why did the young rappers critique you like Young Band and Smoke Purp and those guys?
Yeah. You know what? It's a trend. It's a trend to say that. And they need clicks. They know, put it like this, right? At this point in time, if you mention Russ in a negative fashion on Twitter, you're bound to get more retweets. You feel me? And so...
Let's try that theory.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too.
Do it.
Let me tweet
what
out.
What do you want to put? F*** Russ?
I'm going to tweet out F*** Russ.
Do
and,
it.
And then I'm going to tweet a picture with him later. Like, I just playing. Just want to see social experiment.
Watch. I guarantee you, top
what's
comment.
What's your Twitter?
At Russ Diamond. DIEMON. Watch, what you're going
to
see.
Now make sure to tell your Nigerians I'm playing now. This is a social experiment. Okay?
Right. You know, those two kids, those are clowns, bro.
Did you see them at any festival? Did you?
Yeah, we've caught one of them at a festival. That knows what time it is, bro.
Which one? Smoke Purple Lil Band.
I'm going to tell you right now, if they respond, they know what time it is, bro. I'm putting you like this. We got video, too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so if they get slick at the mouth, you just put the video
I'll
on.
Leak the video. You getting your ass beat. So I suggest you tread carefully. Yeah. You feel me? Period. Like, period. Like, is that... Because I'm done biting my tongue. I don't... Like, as much as people think that I talk about self-sufficiency and about how I do everything myself and you could do it too. Yeah, but like, I don't be talking about how much of clowns y'all really are. You feel me? And so, like...
Can you tell us the story? What happened? You don't have to tell us who it was.
Don't make me stoop down to y'all's level where I'm going to play the internet game too and I'm going to have you humiliated. You feel me? Like, don't do that.
So you saw him at a festival. You ran down on him.
Yeah, it is what it is, bro. They know what time it is. That's all I'm going to say. They know what time it is. Like, the second...
Let's act like he's a drug dealer in the 80s.
No, that's a Sicilian mob boss, B.
Nah, they know what time it is. They know what time it is, bro. They know what time it is. The second that stuff happened, a whole lot of F Russ stopped coming out from their profile. You feel me? They know what time it is.
Swim with the fishes. All right. There you have it.
They know what time it is.
Russ, new album out right now. Zoo.
Zoo.
It's The Breakfast Club. It's Russ.
The Breakfast Club.
My God.
What?
I'm just,
my God.
All I hear is complaints.
Complaints.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
What's going on?
Gracious.
My God, I can't stand all this complaining.
All right, all right, all right. All right. Now, morning, everybody. We are The Breakfast Club. Welcome back, Angela Yee.
Nobody going to ask me who's complaining?
Who's complaining?
No, because I know where you're going to go, I'm and you're a troublemaker. All right.
You're complaining about complaining.
Let's play with him, Yee. Who's complaining?
Revolt TV employees. Why are they complaining?
Nobody's complaining, man. This guy's a jerk.
They shouldn't complain. They only got to work six months.
Exactly, yes. Why would you complain they only working 6 months a year?
I hate y'all, man. Well, Yee's back, and let's get to these rumors. Let's talk button.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, the new Revolt series, State of the Culture, debuted last night. And one thing that happened was Remy Ma brought up the fact that Joe Budden has not responded to Eminem. Because you know Remy Ma will respond. Now, here's what he had to say.
Eminem dropped a surprise album, Kamikaze, and threw shots at a few of his peers, including me. You guys heard that bullshit, I'm sure. Not MGK. I'm talking about the Eminem bullshit. What's up, Remy? I smell smoke.
Is that because he actually dissed you and you have yet to respond yet? Because you mad and you scared to death and you know he will flame you if you even try it? Is that why?
No, Remy.
No one really gives a fuck about what MGK has said. We want to know, what are you going to say?
Remy is a... I love Remy.
Drop one of Clue's bombs for
Good
Remy.
Good point, Remy.
Martin. Reminisce Martin is a jewel.
She does that all the time.
Protected at all costs.
She does. I tell everybody the story. Remy did that to me with a club and a club promoter. You going to let him not pay you? Like you're a little sucker? Like you're a little girl? Like Remy got me into a fight that night.
I'm here for all Remy Ma commentary. How often does that show come on?
Once a week.
Once a week, I'm here for all Remy Ma commentary.
Remy's hilarious.
I'm saying.
What up, Remy?
And you know what's great is that she will do what she tells you to do. If she's telling
we
you,
we don't
need
Remy
to
do that no more. Remy scrapes.
That means
she'll
do it herself.
We don't need Remy to do nothing else no more.
The funny thing is, she did that to me with the club promoter, and then she helped me fight. Like, Remy's crazy.
We don't need Remy Ma to do nothing else no more. Remy has done enough. Okay.
Who ain't pay you,
Remy?
Remy
Ma live her existence.
It was a long time ago. We were in the club.
Go ahead, blast this promoter right now.
Remember.
Who ain't pay you?
That was like 10 years ago. I don't remember.
let Remy Ma be the queen that she is. Thank you.
All right, Yo MTV Wrapped is going to be launching internationally. They're doing local versions of that franchise in the UK, Germany, Southeast Asia and Africa. So that should be pretty exciting. They said the UK version is going to debut on September 25th, and then each localized version is going to debut after that in 2019.
I don't think we need a Yo MTV Raps in 2018. Well, and the reason I say that is because back in the day, Yo MTV Raps was a niche thing because rap wasn't as dominant as it is now. Rap is pop culture now.
Yeah, but you got to think, these are different. This is not the United States. This is international. So I think that they would benefit
from
it.
You don't think
hip-hop
is the dominant genre internationally?
Yeah, but it's newer in other places than it is here.
Mm-hmm.
So just
I think that'll be dope.
Yeah, like even when I was just
in... So the old episodes or new episodes?
No. They're going to do their own
a
local ones.
A whole new show.
Oh!
For their own local artists.
That makes sense.
Are you listening?
No. That makes sense.
So you get to also discover some of the old and other things, as well as new artists too, and regional emerging artists. And I think that's great to have that platform.
That'd
be
dope.
Yes. All right, Kanye West. Now let's talk about what happened when he was at Ralph Lauren's 50th anniversary party. And he did not like a question that one of the reporters asked him. Here's what happened.
No, she needs to be kicked out right now, or I'm leaving. Right now. Let me show you.
We'll take care of it.
Ralph Lauren would be very ashamed that you asked that trash question. You have to go.
So he tried to get somebody kicked out because they asked him a question about Tyson Beckford. Remember, Tyson and Kim Kardashian were going back and forth on social media, and it's Ralph Lauren. So, you know, Tyson Beckford was a Ralph Lauren model, so it kind of makes sense that that affiliation would be there, but he tried to get them kicked out. I don't know if that person got kicked out.
That's
but
funny.
He said, Ralph Lauren will be very ashamed you asked that trash question.
I gotta hear the exact question before I come to a conclusion about this.
How many times did they ask Charlamagne not to ask
And he's doing anyway.
Crazy questions during any of the Powerhouse concerts? They'd be like, Charlamagne, don't ask anything crazy. We need the artist still to perform.
And do I give a damn?
No.
All right.
Kanye tried to flex, get him kicked out. Miss Tyson. Okay. And Tinashe is going to be on Dancing with the Stars season 27. People were going crazy on social media about that. Kind of seems unfair because she's a great dancer. That's what people were saying, though.
Why are you such an a-hole?
No, I'm not. I'm asking. Usually they do that when they're a little older. And
that is not true. Dancing with the Stars be having people on there that's popping and relevant now. Kim Kardashian did Dancing with the Stars before. Kim Kardashian did Dancing with the Stars.
She did it when she was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, right?
Who?
Kim.
Yeah, and Kim was popping in.
Okay.
Like, that don't mean you washed because you on Dancing with the Stars.
All right.
Right. I mean, some washed people be on it. That's what I mean. Tinashe is necessarily washed.
But she's a great dancer.
She is. That's
so
cheating.
I kind of feel like she has an unfair advantage. All right. After Mac Miller's apparent overdose, and that was really sad, by the way, when I heard about that, Bow Wow took to social media to talk about certain things.
Bow Wow. Just shut up.
Talk.
I don't want to hear it.
Let him talk.
I don't want to hear what he got to say.
Go ahead, Yee.
He said, to the youth, stop with these dumbass drugs. I'm going to let something out. When me and Omarion worked on Face Off album, I was high off lean every day. When y'all saw me on BET going off on Torre, I was high off lean. My attitude, everything changed. My fans started to turn on me, my family too. I never promoted lean in my songs. The whole time I was on the UCP tour with Chris, I was sipping fours at least 7 times a day. I was addicted until our show in Cincinnati. I came off stage and passed out, woke up in the hospital. I was having withdrawal. I never felt a pain like that ever. It was summer, but I was walking around with 3 hoodies on because I was so cold. I missed the Chicago show of that tour, Baltimore show, because I was effing high and sick. That ish not cool, and I was doing it to be cool. Kick that ish. Be a good son or daughter. He goes on and on to talk about it.
What about your behavior now, though, Bow Wow? Like, what's causing you to fake want to kill yourself every few weeks on social media?
But he did
media?
Say drug-free is the way to be.
There you go.
He said, smarten up, tighten up out here. We can't lose no more of you. Not one. I love all of y'all, the young artists, all the kids around the world. Don't follow a trend. Break the cycle.
Let's bring back the Just Say No campaign. That was a great campaign.
It was.
Just Say No?
Well, let's start it again.
That was hard. Bring it back for opioids and Is lean considered an opioid?
Heroin, lean, opioids.
Is heroin considered an opioid?
All of those things.
That's been all that stuff all y'all drugs. Using now. Let's bring it back
to just drugs, illegal drugs, Molly's. Insecure, Molly's definitely look like a don't do this.
So who doing crack?
Crack is?
Some people.
Where they selling that at now?
What, you want some?
No, I'm just saying.
I don't know.
I wouldn't know where they sell crack.
I haven't been around any crackheads.
I don't know no crack dealers no more.
No, thank God. All right.
Well, I'll put out a tweet for you, see if we can find you
that's
some.
That's okay.
I know who's selling the pills.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
Somebody in here? Goodness gracious. All right, Revolt, we'll see you tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mixes up next.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.